Welcome to HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. As always, I am Mike Chisholm. As always, I am excited to be doing this this broadcast, recording conversations with fantastic guests talking about men's mental wellness, where we're at, where we've been, where we're going. And I love this. I love the opportunity to do this. It fills my cup. It is the thing in life that brings me so much joy. And, you know, we talk a lot about purpose. I feel like this is a purpose. I watch what is going on with He Changed It and all the amazing things that are happening. And I mean, this thing started in my wife's office just off our bedroom, and what she has founded, the team that she has built, where He Changed It is, we want to change the world. We want to make the world a better place. I've said this story over and over, but my wife does not like the world that her boys are inheriting. And she and her team want to create a place where men can come and they can learn from each other. They can focus on mental wellness. And it's just a beautiful part. Being part of the experience is beautiful for me. So I come to you with gratefulness today. If you haven't downloaded the app already, what are you waiting for? Check out He Changed It in your app store. Download the He app. And if you haven't subscribed or shared the podcast, what are you waiting for on that too? Please do. Please subscribe. Please share our podcast. People will love to hear the conversations that happen on HeCast. Today is no exception. We've got a guy on here. Now, I'm really excited about this because people have asked me, okay, Mike, how come you haven't had more pastors on? Had a lot of life coaches, had a lot of counselors, had a lot of, you know, people that give advice on maybe the biological impulses. But what about the spiritual stuff? You talk about spiritual. Even in the He Changed It app, there's spiritual wellness that is talked about. And at the end of the day, I think that many times discussing even the word pastor can be a charged word sometimes. I think people have misconceptions and things like that. Well, today is not a day where that is necessary because I think many of us have gone through life and we've met a pastor and where it's like, no, you got to meet this pastor. This pastor is not like any other pastor you've ever met. You're not going to be judged. You're not going to be religioned to death. You're not going to be denominationed to death. Any of those sorts of things. That's a cool guy. I've met a lot of pastors in my life. Okay. But that one there, I really like that one. The guy that we have on today is one of those pastors. He's one of those pastors. In fact, he's not just one of those guys that doesn't judge and whatnot. He's got a really cool niche in what he would call his ministry, in what he would call his life's purpose. He's a team chaplain to a whole bunch of junior hockey teams. That's how I met Don originally. I was representing a company that sponsored a hockey team. One of my best friends is deeply involved in that hockey team. And he says, oh, you got to meet Pastor Don. He's amazing. And it is totally true. This is a guy who wants to help people find their way, whatever that may look like. This is a guy that cares about people. Desperately cares about people from his very, very, very core and has an unlimited amount of energy for that because he gets it from a source outside of biology. Whether you believe in that or don't believe in that, it is really nice to have Don Richmond on this podcast today. Pastor Don Richmond, thank you very much for being on HeCast today.
It's great to be here, Mike. It really is. I'm honored to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you on camera. Every time you and I talk, every time we have an interaction, I am left feeling, I feel like there's more water in my sponge than there was before the interaction with you. Have you always been that guy where you can just encourage people and give them empowerment? Is that something that you always enjoyed doing?
You know, I'd hope to say yes, but probably not. I would say that I've had, and I'll use the word epiphany, but I've had a few of those in my life. And it took a few, actually, Mike, it took a few years of actually restlessness about what I was accomplishing or what I was doing. If I was moving the ball down the field or I was just three and outing all the time. And so, you know, football cliche, but the idea was that, you know, I felt like I just needed to make a few first downs and to actually move move what I was doing. And so, but that took a few epiphanies. And so it's probably come in stages for me as far as finding what I call, it's a sweet spot. It really is. It's like grooving a one right down the middle of the plate and let me crank on it.
Well, we started with the athletic cliche, so let's keep on going down that path. You're a team chaplain to a bunch of hockey teams.
Yeah.
And I mean, is that... I mean, I'm naive when it comes to this sort of thing. Is that usual? Like you talk about junior hockey in Canada. It's a big thing. It's like religion. You know, they talk about football in the States. And I would liken the two, you know, high school football in the States versus junior hockey in Canada. Very, very similar things. People get excited about it. They're part of the communities. Is having a team chaplain a common thing?
It wasn't. I would say that, you know, for example, football and some of the American sports, Americans are very different than Canadians.
Yeah.
Americans have a very more of a independent attitude, very far more chaplain aware just in the way they are. But Canadians tend to be a little more on the European style not quite that way. And so chaplaincy has not been quite as fully ingrained. I mean, if you go down to the States, whether it's Friday night high school football, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's NASCAR, I mean, you got yourself a chaplain. That's just the way it is. And so in Canada, not quite, but it has been developing and it's a mindset. And I've just really enjoyed that. And so, in the province of BC right now, we're about 40 chapel programs that I oversee. I can't do them all, but I oversee them and I travel around the province, trying to help young athletes. And I find that the arena is basically my parish.
That is a very interesting way of looking at things, and something that I think a lot of people wouldn't even be aware of necessarily. So I'm grateful to have this. I'm grateful to have you on here because I want to talk about life and ponder all these things. And, you know, I think that you probably have a lot of experience and wisdom that you could pass on to a lot of guys. But at the end of the day, you've got this heart where you want to add, you know, you think about kids being trained in something, you know, they're being trained in their, of course, their physical bodies, because I mean, they're trying to do a physical thing, you know, they're trying to play together. They're trying to be stronger so they can provide a better physical presence for their team. You've got the mental stuff, you know, people, performance coaches and visualizations and all that sort of stuff. But then there's that element of the spiritual, and the element of the spiritual, it's a little more it's a lot more intangible. And you have this heart for wanting to help in the spiritual. Like, is that what you want to do? Is that what your goal is when you meet with these boys and you see these boys, is to help them with their spiritual journey and start to figure some of these things out? Like, what's your role as you see it?
Well, just to give you an example, tomorrow, right now we're in January.
Yep.
And tomorrow I have a chapel with a junior club. That would be Tuesday. Wednesday, I have another one. It is a regular occurrence. And it's like, you know, wherever you go to work, Mike, you have, whatever you have in your toolbox, you know, you got to use it, whether you're a plumber, whether you're an electrician, whether you're a carpenter, whatever you are, whether you're a high tech guy and you got all kinds of electronic equipment around. For hockey players, their body is part of their toolkit.
Yep.
They work out. They have to because it's competitive. It's athletic. These guys, they can't be carrying extra weight. They can't be having out of shape. They got to be able to go hard. And so they have that. But they also need to have people to help them with their mental game.
Yeah.
Huge, huge. I like to come in and say, you know, guys, there are some times when you struggle, and I want to be there for you for that. I want to be able to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the things, whether it's mental health. I'll always have a prayer with these guys. They always know if you're going to talk with Chaplain D, man, the last thing we're going to do is we're going to say a word up to God, and leave them sensing that, first of all, somebody cares, mm-hmm. and somebody is in their corner, and that there's a bigger plan and a bigger purpose than last night's game or tomorrow's game.
Yeah.
There's a bigger plan and a bigger purpose. So, you know what? I can't help them on the outward game, whether it's their biceps and their shot and their skating and their hitting and all these things. But I can try to help them with their inner game.
Right.
And at the end of the day, the inner game is going to serve them when they're 50, 60, 70 years old. The outer game's going to be done by then.
Right.
But the inner game, that'll last until they're and basically until they die.
So let's dive down a little bit, because I mean, religion has gotten a bad rap in a lot of ways in our society that we live in today. And I said in the intro, you're one of those guys who religion doesn't seem to, okay, people find out you're a pastor or whatever, but religion doesn't really even enter the conversation when talking with you. When I talk with you, I see a man who has given all of himself to caring for others. That's what I get when I talk to you. I get that I'm in a safe place when I talk to you. I've always gotten that. And I've always gotten to the place where I can be vulnerable easier around you than I can many other people. And it's just because of the way you carry yourself. How has that always been you, or is the religion the part that has created that in you? Have you always had that ability? Like when you were a kid, were you that guy?
You know what? I grew up in church.
You grew up in church.
I'm a Sunday school boy.
Okay.
But remember I said that there was a few epiphanies?
Yeah.
There was a time probably, earlier in my life when I began to think differently, and I'm not much about or much for religion. Sorry, Mike, I'm not. I'm a dedicated follower of Christ. But if you ask me, I don't think he came for religion. That is an invention that people have come up with.
Okay.
And it hasn't worked incredibly well. So therefore, the bad rap is kind of deserved, to be honest.
Okay.
So for me, I had to think that through long and hard, and it kind of gave me a bit of a new lease on life. So it's not so much about religion, because I want to respect that, but that's really not the thing that's going to change people.
Right.
It's relationship.
Relationship.
Yeah. And so like when I look at the life of Christ, I mean, he didn't come to set up a church. He didn't come to set up a Christian nation. He came to set up an invisible kingdom. Right there, pal. And until you get that, you're going to be fighting with people. You're going to be trying to position yourself for power and influence. And people recognize that. And that's not effective for the long game.
Right.
That's not effective for the long game. So when I walk into a dressing room, I want to hear people yell, "Hey, Donnie, how's it going?" Well, like in the next couple of days, we'll have chapels. I have sponsors that help me buy pizza. Honestly, Mike, I think I've certainly bought somewhere north of 2,000 pizzas in my chaplaincy career.
Yep.
And so we sit around and have pizza in a dressing room. And we have orange pop just because I'm as weird as they are. And and orange pop has been my drink of choice just for chapel. I never drink it anytime. Nobody else does.
Yeah.
But it's that pizza and orange pop, and they never drink it other than that. And it's one of those weird hockey cultural things. And so we'll do that tomorrow. We'll sit down and we'll talk about stories. I'll tell them a story. I'll have a little prayer with them. I'll tell them I love them, because I do.
Yeah.
And I'll tell them, you guys, you know, if there's something about family, if there's something about girlfriends, are you worried about things like scholarship for university?
Yeah.
Are you concerned about something else in your life? You know, I just had, you know, the last couple of years, there's been some tragedies in hockey, and there's been, you know, whether it was Humboldt, you know, or people that have died recently, in the lower mainland. Yeah. And that affects players.
Yeah.
They know these guys.
Yes.
And so I want to be there for that. So in the middle of the hustle and bustle, when fans go to the game and they're yelling and screaming, there is so much more than what people see.
Yeah.
And so I want to be about that. Sure, I want them to score. I want them to hit. You know, if I want them to, I'll be there yelling. I'll be an insane person there too. But that's really just window dressing. That is like, they have real lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, their lives are not all about sticks and pucks. You know, yeah. That's what they do. But just like a plumber, you know, his life isn't about, you know, wrenches. You know, he has a family. He has a life. Hockey players, junior hockey players have a life.
Well, okay. And I'm really, really grateful that you kind of went down that path, because what we're about to talk about, I think, is kind of a bit of an allegory for everybody. It's going to be an example that there's a lot of guys out there who are stuck. And they're stuck in themselves, and they've never been vulnerable. They've never taken a step out and talked about some of these things that you're touching on here, and they've never even considered a spiritual side, potentially.
Right.
And I want to kind of dive into that a little bit by going through when you talk to some of these awkward teenagers, because that's what they are. They're athletes, yeah. But at the same time, they're also, you know, a lot of these guys don't know how to look up in people's eyes. They don't know. They're just there.
They're teenagers.
And then you suddenly say to them something that no other human may have ever said to them. Hey, can I pray with you?
Yeah.
To some of them, that's really foreign.
Totally foreign.
Right.
Yep.
And yet you still have this ability to build a bridge and to create thinking and pondering and some of these things with these creatures that can't even keep their room clean, much less never pondered a spiritual side of things. How does that go over? Do you ever get little awkward moments with them where it's they've never heard it before, they're unaware, or is it like how is it from your perspective when you start going down this path with them?
Yeah, a little awkward sometimes, but it doesn't last long. It doesn't last long because the awkwardness comes from the preconception that this is going to be weird.
Okay.
And as soon as that is dispelled, there's no more awkwardness.
Right.
There's no more awkwardness. Like, you know, like a little chapel, my chapels are 25 minutes long. Yep. They're not long. I don't want these guys to die here because chapel's optional.
Okay.
Which is the only way I want it. I don't want them to have to come. Otherwise,
it's not a forced thing.
I've lost it all.
How is attendance?
Whole team comes.
Okay. So it's optional, but it's you still optional. Get a buy-in.
You know what? Whole team comes.
Yeah.
Maybe it's for the pizza. Whatever. I'll tell you what. I read a story in the Gospels where Jesus fed 5,000 people on a hillside.
Yeah.
And he taught them. It may have been the food.
It may have been the loaves and the fishes.
It may have been the loaves and fishes. You know what? When you're hungry, yeah, there's some meat. Hockey players after, and I know I'm being a little facetious here, but you know what? The truth is, hockey players after a practice, they're going to eat anything that is moving.
Sure.
So if there's pizza, it might be the pizza.
Right. Okay. But then you've got these senior guys, the guys who are totally. About to age out, the guys who have been there for 2 or 3 years in the program. Yep. The leaders of the team captains, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're telling the young guys, no, come to this. This is worth coming to. And that's what it is. So do you do is it a sermon? Is that
nope.
what it is?
No, I don't do church.
You don't do church?
No, I don't do church. I hardly do church. I do church on Sundays. Like, again, I'm just not that institutional guy. And I honor that, but I don't do church.
Yeah.
What I do is I have a little open prayer. I'll have a story. I love telling stories. Mm-hmm. And so I'll tell them a story about something about the topic of the day, whether it's honesty, whether it's selfishness, whether it's, you know, my classic line is, have you ever said something and 2 seconds later, you just so regret what you said. Like, oh, what did I say that?
And we've all been there.
Totally. And then I say, somebody be bold enough to tell me what they said and they totally regretted it. Well, then the place just loses its mind. Everybody's telling me, I said this, blah, blah. That's wow. Chapel. Then I say, well, there's a little verse. Sorry. But no, there, okay. There's a little verse, and I say where the verse is at about how the value of your tongue and talking and the kind of things and how powerful it is for good or evil.
Yeah.
Good or bad. So then we have a chat. We've just had a story. We've just had all the things that we need. And then I'll say, guys, I want you to know that can I encourage you to think before you speak? This is not this is not even a Christian principle.
No.
This is a life principle.
Yeah.
You know, before you speak. And so that's just an example. And then and then I'll have a little, maybe a little verse, and I'll have something like that. And then I'll huddle them up. We'll have a 22 man huddle, a shoulder, and I do the whole thing. And that's the last thing I do. And I say, boys, I'm gonna have a little prayer to close my little chapel.
Yeah.
And I ask them, I always ask them, like, do you have anything you want me to include? Yeah, yeah. So and so has got, you know, he's injured, or so and so, or my grandma's battling cancer, or this mm-hmm. or that, or like some serious stuff. And I always remember at that moment to listen to what they say and remember it, so that I have a little prayer. Yeah. And then I say, you know, and so and so's grandma, you know what? It's not hockey, but it's his family, and he loves his grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take care of him from the inside out? And so then we just go about, and I make sure I remember all their prayers, and then I said amen. They all say amen. I have pictures of, like, you know, the guys, I have pictures of guys just like huddling, and we have our little team prayer. These guys, some of them have never prayed in their lives.
Yeah.
And they're okay with that. They're okay with that because they know that I love them, and they know that I care for them, and they know that, you know, there's something absolutely good and unseen going on. And after we say amen, then I just simply say, guys, I have a chapel motto, which I've had for 21 years. And it goes like this. It's my chapel motto is, the highest purpose for faith in God is not to change my circumstances, is to change me inside. And they yell it. So we're yelling that motto. And anybody who's been through my chapels can say that motto because they've said it. And I've had the same motto for 21 years. And then I stand by the door. You never get out of chapel without giving me a handshake or a hug. That's just a rule. And I stand there, and they say, thanks for chapel, Donnie. I love you, Donnie. And all this stuff and stuff. Like, it's real stuff, Mike. And so they leave, and then they go on their day. They're working out. They're doing this.
Yeah.
They're going to the gym. They're getting
absolutely
ready.
Yep.
But they don't forget that.
Man, there's a lot of stuff that we could take and use on that. Like, you are showing a bunch of things. You're showing mindfulness, number one. And like you said it yourself, it's not specifically a religious or a biblical concept, but it's a wisdom concept of all sorts of different theologies, whatever you want to call it. Being mindful, like just being aware of things.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There are so many guys out there right now who need exactly what you just talked about. The idea of thinking, I mean, the app is called He Changed It.
Yep.
Changing it. And it's right, like you say, to change me. That's how it finishes, to change me.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we all need to work on ourselves, but it's that mindfulness of recognizing that, hey, even for guys who are unhappy, but they don't even know why they're unhappy. They're just going through the motions. They're just connecting the dots that they were told to connect. And that mindfulness, that awakening that can happen of being mindful and recognizing a little bit what's going around, maybe some internal mindfulness. Man, I sure wish every 16-year-old boy and girl, for that matter, would be taught that in school. That inner reflection is so important. And the way that you're hitting it through athletics is quite the thing.
Well, you know, like I said, it's I feel like it's a sweet spot. It really is. I know it's valuable. And like the motto says, you know, the highest purpose for my faith in God is not to change my circumstances. And I say that because it seems like we're all happy, and we can, as long as things are going well and our circumstances are awesome, then, you know, we're on board.
Yeah.
But life, and you know this, Mike, life is not like that.
No.
There's going to come times. And if I, you know, as a Christian man, if I put God on the hook, in other words, as long as it goes good, God, you and me are tight.
Yeah.
But when it doesn't.
Yeah.
See, so I want them to know that the highest purpose for my faith in God is not to change my circumstances. It's to change me inside.
Yeah.
So that I can survive the hard times when I get cut from a junior team, when I'm injured, when I disagree with my coach, when something goes on in the dressing room, you know, when I break up with my girlfriend, when yeah. all the things that junior hockey players do, and they bring it to the rink and they bring it on the ice. And you're trying to say, you guys got to let that go. Because mm-hmm. guess what? Whether we like it or not, and fans love to cheer and all the things that we do, and we all love it. But the truth is, it's a results-oriented activity.
Yeah.
What have you done for me lately?
Right.
This, like, you know what? You got to do it. Like that, you're there to perform.
Sure.
It's an entertainment business.
Yep.
And when you get into the area of minor hockey and you graduate to junior hockey,
yep.
it becomes very apparent very quickly. Scouts are watching. It is a results-oriented business. And yep. you are now in the entertainment business.
Yeah.
And you got to make the fans happy. You got to do whatever you got to do. But you got to perform.
Yeah.
And that sounds kind of not so great. But it's phenomenal in a sense. But you've got to take care of your inner life.
Well, there's a role with that. I mean, you're talking about, you get involved in an organization where fans are involved.
Totally. Where
the sponsors of the team are involved. The community around you, you're a representation of the community. And yet these are still growing, human beings. They're human beings that they're not done yet, you know, and I guess we're never done. But they're in that place of metamorphosis. And coming in there to learn character, and I don't know where character is taught these days, but it certainly seems that character is one of those things that you want to teach in that dressing room.
We do. I want to teach, and I think that coaches do a good job. They try to teach character, but it's a bumpy ride.
Yeah.
And I certainly want to teach character in my chapels. I want to be able to give them a good perspective on my faith. And on the God question, I'm not a pushy guy. I want them to come to me, and they do. Yeah. I have coffees all season long with players and talks and personal stuff away from the rink, and that's awesome. I've had parents say, thanks for taking care of my kid. You know, parents are in Manitoba or Quebec or
yeah.
the States or all over the place, and their child is here playing hockey. And so to have someone take care of their, you know, their child is a pretty big deal.
Yes.
It really is. And yes. so, you know, I don't want to be pushy because that never works. But I'm a God guy, yeah. I'm a Jesus guy. I really am. Like, you know, I've always been a follower of Christ. And, you know, in the very, very, to me, there has been something that has happened in my life that has helped me hit the rink and do what I do there. And so I spend more time in the rink than I do in my local church.
Yeah.
And I just do. And again, it's just the way it is. And that's where I find that it's effective.
The one thing that I hear as well, the skill that's being taught to the boys through this process is vulnerability. I mean, I know guys who are my age that have secrets or things they've gone through or traumatic experiences they've never talked about from when they were
yep.
a kid. Right. And they will not pull that drain plug. They will not. They are solidified in cement where they will not become vulnerable. And part of that is where they, you know, where we're becoming a more in touch society, I think, a more emotional society. We're growing, we're learning.
Yep.
Not only is technology blossoming and doing these things, but the knowledge of the human self is growing. The sum of human knowledge is doubling all the time now, when it used to take thousands of years for that to happen even yep. once. But vulnerability, I think about these 16-year-old guys, and you're giving them the opportunity to start releasing things that many men my age, your age, have never, ever released. And I think that is a real key part of becoming vulnerable at an early age. That really can open a lot of doors moving forward.
Well, you know, men tend to hide stuff. always have. It's a gender thing, I am sure. You know, girls want to talk to their girlfriends. They want to go and they can spend an hour or two on the phone. I don't know how they do it. But, you know, but guys tend to like, you know what? Yeah, I think I'll keep that to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll keep that to myself.
There's a price that you pay for doing that, though.
Totally. And so to be able to, you know, let's face it, you come with baggage. Everybody has baggage.
Yep.
Everybody has baggage. You know, one of the questions I ask in chapel is, does anybody have any skeletons in their closet? What a dumb question. Of course, everybody does, right? There's all kinds of stuff like, I don't think I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is I want to be able to be that safety valve where guys can start talking about their real lives, about stuff like it's a no-fly zone. We don't go there. For example, coaches, they want to coach and care for players, but they want to win.
Yeah.
And they need the roster. And so they're making moves. If they're the general manager, they're trying to bring players in. So it's a business. You know what? Players don't want to go and tell their coach about that.
Yeah.
That is just way.
If I tell the coach that, this consequence could happen.
Well, you know what? You don't want to be known as a player, as a high maintenance guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I tell coaches all the time, guess what? You let me deal with that stuff. And unless it's some kind of a legal thing or something that you must know, you won't know. I'll take care of that. You can coach. You can do your stuff and I'll respect that. And I'll take care of the kind of stuff that, you know what? It doesn't have to come near you. And the coaches actually love that because then they can coach. That's what they're there for. Not as though they don't enjoy the guys or respect the guys or like the guys, because they do. But that's what they're there for. They're there to coach. And so I can deal with some of the other stuff. And then the players don't feel like, well, I got no one to tell. And I'm not telling the coach.
Right.
Now they can say. Now they can. It's a release valve.
100%. Well, okay. The release valve. I use that. Lets some pressure out of the balloon is the analogy I always go to. Right. You know, the balloon's getting, like it might pop. And we don't want to be there when it pops because we know that's when the bad stuff really happens.
Right.
What if we could create a place? And this is what I was, as you were talking about what you are for those boys. If my wife and her team were here right now listening, they'll listen to it when they hear the podcast. They're all going to get goosebumps because you just described what they're trying to build. He changed it to be a place where guys can go anonymously if they have to, where they can leave something that they know, you know, whatever it is that binds them. But they can take something that they need, and that taking what they need is releasing of that pressure valve that needs to happen because there are so many of us, Don, that are so close to the balloon bursting.
Well, I can say that there has been a number of devastating stories in hockey in the last 20, 30 years, and we all know it's well documented, you know, with players that have come out after they've been abused, and like it's been horrific and stuff. I would say this. When teams have an active chaplain, that can get stopped.
Yeah.
Because now you have a release valve.
Right.
Does that make sense?
100%.
See, and I think that for a long time, in those early years of my life in hockey, there was no chaplaincy.
Right.
And you know what? You had nobody.
And the locker room was the locker room, and it got the stereotypes that it got because the locker room was stereotypical in that regard. Yeah. And that's been put under the magnifying glass over the last, I mean, you must, the difference of the time that you were just talking about of the locker room then versus the locker room now, it right. must be night and day.
Oh, it is. And the players, I mean, you know what? We have a tendency to get in trouble. You know, we do crazy things as humans, more so when we're 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
And you know what? We'll live forever. We're invincible. Like nothing will ever hurt us or touch us and all this. Well, we know as adult men that that's actually not true.
Right.
Like stuff starts to pile up and sometimes, you know, there are consequences for our actions. And so if I can be there as a chaplain, but there hasn't always been chaplaincy.
No.
You know, it has been one of those things because, you know, people didn't know, well, how do you mix hockey and as you said, religion, yeah, or faith. And all I know is that people need to be cared for. And Jesus, he told me what I got out of it. He didn't say, wait for people to come to you. He said, go to them.
Right.
And I looked at the arena. I says, I love this game and I love these people. So I'm going to go. If I'm sitting in my church on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and waiting for them to come, I'm going to be waiting for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I'm going.
So you just brought up that example, the difference of faith and religion, what the two things are. I, first and foremost, having known you for years now, I believe that you are a man of faith rather than religion. I believe that's who you are. Some people do not understand the difference. Some people don't know what a Christian means, being a Christian means. Like when people ask me if I'm a Christian, I get that because I love kindness. Kindness is one of my favorite things in the world. And many times if somebody has a first time or an experience with me early on where kindness pops out somehow, some way, I get the question all the time. Are you a Christian? Oh, hey, Mike, are you a Christian? And it takes me 5 friggin' minutes to answer the question. Because it's such a confusing question to me. There's so many. It's such a loaded question.
That is hilarious.
Because
are you a Christian? It takes me 5 friggin' minutes.
It does. It takes me 5 friggin' minutes.
That's hilarious.
It's the truth. I can't answer. I can't take less than 5 minutes to answer that question. And so it's because, well, people's definition of Christian has the baggage that they have brought with it, that the experiences that they have had with either Christians or Christianity in the background ever. And they don't know really what they're asking compared to what somebody else asking the exact same question is. They're completely two different things. And that's where the whole living in faith is to me. Like that's just it. What does being a Christian mean to you?
Okay. Being a Christian means to me, the reason I was laughing at you, because you were saying, what is a Christian? You said Christian friggin'. And I was just laughing, thinking, well, that's kind of awesome. Being a Christian means,
and that can be part of the answer, by the way. I can go into that. I can talk about how I could say I'm a quote unquote Christian, but still can curse. I can do that.
You know what? The reality is, and you know what? I'm totally comfortable. I'm comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
I would say to answer your question, I have decided to follow Christ.
Yes.
I have decided that what he means to me, I've always believed that, and this is, you know, I don't ask everybody to agree with me on everything, but I follow him because I believe he's the Son of God. I believe that what he said works.
Yep.
I believe that he changes me. He changed it for me. And so it's not like there have been enough negative examples of, and I'll use the word Christianity and religion, and we can all list them. It's as long as our arm in human history. I'm not about that. And I'm also not about hammering away at that. And I'm not about disrespecting that. I'm on staff at a church.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on staff for 14 years.
Yep.
But I tend to be fly a little lower on that radar, because what I want to do is I want to be just one little example.
Yeah,
I was at a hockey game, you know, I'm always at hockey games, you know, singing anthems, doing what I love to do. And it was in the middle of the, second intermission.
Yep.
And I like to walk around the rink and talk to people, because I feel that the players, the coaches, and the fans are all part of my parish.
Yeah.
Whether they're Christian people, go to church, or they don't, whatever. Like I kind of hold those terms a little bit loosely. And I sat down by one guy and I said, hey, how's it going? He says, Pastor, I'm having a hard time. And I just believe God put me right there while the Zamboni's cleaning the ice. Mm. And he said to me, can you pray for me? I'm having a hard time at home. Mm. It was his marriage.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a player. Not a coach, he's a fan, mm-hmm. but he knows that I'm the chaplain. And so I put my hand on his shoulder and I began to say a prayer for him while the Zamboni's cleaning the ice. And here's what I thought. Just like that ice is all chewed up and carved up and there's snow and there's a bit of blood in the corner because there was a scrap and everything, it's a mess. As I was saying a prayer for this guy, the Zamboni was starting to clean off the mess. Strip by strip, the Zamboni was cleaning off. And so unbeknownst to the players, by the time they get out there, all the mess that they left in the second period, it's going to be clean. And that is what I was praying with this guy, so that the mess would slowly be strip by strip cleaned off, the ruts and the blood and the snow and all the stuff. And all of a sudden you have a clean sheet.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah. 100%. And like take religion out of it. Isn't that what we all want for ourselves?
Yeah.
Because we all have that rough ice. We all have that. The blood that's gone because of, the hits, the equipment all over the place. So we all have dirty ice that needs to be cleaned off.
We start maybe clean, but it doesn't take us very long before, just like in hockey, doesn't take very many minutes of playing hockey and all of a sudden that clean ice is done. Yeah. Now you're talking about pucks are bouncing, there's ruts, there's all kinds of stuff. Goalies are cleaning snow from the posts and all the stuff that happens. But what happened to that clean ice? Yeah. Well, guess what? Life happened.
Yeah. There are guys listening to this podcast right now that are there. There are guys listening to this podcast right now that are feeling stuck, that are feeling jammed up. And they don't necessarily think to turn to religion, but they've never really understood the idea of turning to faith. Do you think that people utilize you as a conduit between their lack of faith and what the potential is out there? Like, you get people who are quote unquote religionless or faithless or whatever that come to you and they pour their hearts out to you. That is a very interesting place to be in life. There's not, there's not a lot of people that can say that. Maybe a few bartenders, maybe a few hairdressers. Okay. But you get that. You get people who have never had a lick of experience in a church, but they come to you and they ask you for your help. And that help is almost to be a mediator between you and something higher than that.
Well, I can just tell you that, I would say many people, they've never thought or they've never considered believing. So they would not believe in Christianity, wouldn't believe, let's say, in God, or it's just not part of their
right
world. But you know something, Mike? When life gets tough, you start to think about things that maybe you've never thought about before. Mm-hmm. And even in the middle of a hockey game, when somebody sits down beside you, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, it's tough.
Yeah.
And so I view that as an opportunity where people, and I'm not really too concerned if they're a believer at that point. Or not.
No, and I can say that you aren't.
No, I'm not.
You care about the person.
No, because I'm not saying to them, you come to my church or you put money in this offering.
It's not loaded in any way with any expectation whatsoever.
There's no agenda.
Right.
There's no agenda. I want to be able to have that person leave that game, and they may not even know who won the game, but they know the chaplain prayed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that weird? Now, obviously we're there to enjoy it and be entertained by the game, but there are sometimes, you know what? There are people that are carrying a lot of heavy burdens.
Yeah.
I walked into the beer garden one night.
Yeah.
And I was talking and the guy in the beer garden said to me, you know what? You always come in the third period off after I've had a few beers. You're just setting me up, aren't you? Like, you wait till I'm kind of three or four in, and then you come in. And I says, absolutely. Actually, I perform weddings for all of his children.
Wow.
I officiated weddings for all. We became fast friends.
Wow.
And it started in the beer garden when he says, I think you're setting me up. Because I would wander around third period. I come down to the beer garden. Hey, boys. Okay, everybody, watch your language because the chaplain's here. It's just really weird. I says, well, that's awkward, actually. Because, I mean, I didn't mean any of that, but I wanted to go down there. I wanted to give him a couple periods.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Mama didn't raise no fool. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
So, and then he started to talk to me.
Yeah.
Good friends. Good friends to this day.
Yeah.
Good friends to this day. So whether it's on the ice, whether it's in the dressing room, whether it's in the stands or it's in the beer garden, I just want to be Jesus on two legs.
Mm-hmm.
Like walk up to somebody and tell them that you care for them or ask them a question and then just hang out and and let them unburden themselves. And you know, and my deal, because I'm a chaplain, is, well, you know, I don't know what else to do, but I know how to pray.
Yeah.
Can I say a prayer? Well, are you allowed to say a prayer at a hockey rink? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. And because it doesn't matter. Like in my faith, it doesn't matter. You don't need to be in a prayer room. Or you don't need to be in a church building with a spire. All you need to do is have a faith in God.
One of the things you said earlier is that people are walking around with these burdens. And it's beautiful, by the way, that you have a position in your slice of life that you have a position to help people release their burdens. That is that must feel amazing to have that privilege to do that for people. I can tell. I see how excited you're getting about this. I want to talk about a couple of the burdens because we do have to sort of start moving towards the close. And I want to talk about guys who are sitting there and they're stuck and then whatnot. And there's two particular burdens that I just feel that I wanted to ask you about today. One of them was forgiveness. And I think forgiveness is one of those things that many times gets a bad rap because people may look at it as a sign of weakness or a sign of relenting on something or whatever. I was wronged. And that person, if, you know, forgiving that person is out of the question. But when it comes to forgiveness, I think you would probably have a very unique perspective on it. And the other one is judgment. And for the obvious reasons that you're not a judgmental guy in an arena, for lack of a better term, that gets cast as being a judgmental place, you're anything but. I want to talk about forgiveness. There's a lot of people who are sitting there and they haven't forgiven somebody for something. What does forgiveness mean to you?
Well, you know, it's easy for me to say, Mike, look at that little splinter in your eye mm-hmm. and forget that I have a log in my own eye. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be judgmental. It's easy to be unforgiving when we are absolutely consumed with ourselves. But I will tell you this, and it's straight from the man that I serve, is that the only way that I can forgive somebody is when I realize that I have been forgiven myself. Otherwise, I feel that I'm arrogant and I have nothing to confess. I have nothing to be forgiven. Therefore, I can pass judgment on others and say, I'm not going to forgive them. But actually, it starts with me. Mm-hmm. When I realize that I have been forgiven, then the pieces start to fall into place and then I can forgive others.
Yeah.
But it starts with me humbling myself and say, you know what? I am Captain Screw Up.
Yeah.
Right here. I have been forgiven much. Therefore, I will now forgive others.
Right.
Other than that, it's just almost humanly impossible. That's why I need faith in God, because it is impossible until I realize, yep, I have been forgiven.
You know, it's one of those things where there's a lot of things. Okay, I take the generic example out of the Bible. Take the Ten Commandments, okay? If you follow the Ten Commandments, you're actually going to live a pretty good life.
Yep.
Because, you know, you're not going to lie to people. You're not going to kill anybody. That's good. You're not going to covet or do anything else with your neighbor's wife. Okay, well, that's probably a good thing. You're going to live a pretty smooth life if you follow the Ten Commandments. If you look at it that way, I look at forgiveness that way. It can be also pragmatic and very practical.
Yep.
Most of the time, if I'm not forgiving somebody, it's like me walking with a knapsack full of rocks. And the moment I forgive them, I'm releasing those rocks. And I'm actually almost doing it for myself more so than when I'm doing it for the other person. It's not that I'm going to, because maybe that person, letting them off the hook, maybe they don't even care to be let off the hook. Maybe they're trying to do me harm. But me actually forgiving them, I'm not saying I don't set up boundaries and I'd be a patsy for it to get slapped around. That's not what I'm saying. But what forgiving the person actually releases me to sit up straighter because I'm not carrying those rocks anymore. And I can actually go on and have a more fulfilling life if I actually forgive somebody, if I'm holding on to something.
Well, you're right. And basically, if you hold on to something and don't forgive, it actually probably doesn't affect the other person at all.
They're just going about their life, living
their
life,
you're
right?
The one who's going to be weighed down. So exactly.
Yeah.
Forgiving actually is healthy,
yeah,
but it's very difficult if we don't understand that we've been forgiven first.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. And, you know, I just think that, and it's a hard thing to do. Let's face it. We, you know, we get ourselves all wound up and somebody did something and we have legitimate beefs and we have legitimate things Absolutely. That have happened. So what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know, what are we going to do about it? And I think that people like lack of forgiveness is a huge issue. It's a huge issue. And we feel delicious to hang on to that.
Yeah.
It feels delicious to hang on. It's unhealthy. It's not productive. But it's hard to let go.
Yeah.
And one of the things I have found in my Christian faith is that when I let go and I trust God to deal with it all, instead of I'm going to hang on to this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let him off the hook. You know what?
Or retaliation or revenge or whatever. Now, what are you focusing on? Sure, not making a better life.
None of that works.
Yeah.
Mike. None of that works. Yeah. Yeah. So part of you had talked about forgiveness and judgment.
Judgment's the other one. Yeah.
You know,
because we live in a society right now that loves to judge people, especially when they screw up. And not forgive about it. Cancel them. You think about cancel culture right now. You think about all the things that people are doing to you did this 20 years ago. Okay, now you're going to lose your job or all of these things that are happening. It's almost like we live in a portion of society that is delighting in judging people and not forgiving and holding it over people's heads almost.
I think when we are kind of those judgy Judgerson kind of people.
Yeah. That's such a pastor thing to say, those judgy Judgerson people.
I would say, thank you, Mike. I would say that, you know what it really, for me, it, and I say this carefully, but truthfully, there's a bit of arrogance there. Mm. Because we're just not looking at ourselves.
Yeah.
We're judging other people and we don't, there's a blind spot. We don't look at ourselves. And so it's pretty easy for me to look around. And if I've got any kind of a, you know, view on people at all, yeah, I could fall into that and judge people all day long.
Yeah.
You know, well, you see that guy, I don't think he signaled when he changed lanes. Ugh, what a goofball.
Oh yeah. In the car that gets amplified for some people sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah. Whatever. But in life. And I think that it's almost like, stop. Because what that means is that when I spend my life kind of passing easy judgment on other people, I have a blind spot and I don't choose to look at myself. And really, the highest purpose of my faith in God is to change me inside.
Change me inside.
It's about allowing myself to be changed, but I have to be vulnerable enough to allow that. Otherwise, it's far easier to fire away at Bill and Bob and John.
Absolutely.
But it's harder to look at Don.
Well, and I think that if everybody who was polled, anybody who listens to this and beyond, anybody who are you perfect? I think everybody would say, no, I'm not perfect. I think most people would say that as something that is easy. Like 1 + 1 = 2. Okay, but have you really explored that you're not perfect in how you treat others? Because again, I think you're exactly right. You soften the earth, whether it's forgiveness or judgment, whatever. If you're feeling a certain way about somebody, but you go back to introspection, you soften up the dirt a little bit by saying, okay, well, I've been forgiven by others, yeah, first and foremost on this earth. Then maybe even on a bigger level, on a cosmic level,
yeah,
on a spiritual level. Okay. That's humbling right there. Okay. I feel like I want to judge this person. Well, okay. Have I done some things that would subject myself to judgment, skeletons in the closet, that sort of thing? Yeah. Okay. So when that introspection comes in and we till the earth a little bit and soften it up a little bit and realize that we're not perfect, right? We explore that very easy thing to say, you know, but when you explore it introspectively, I think that helps a lot. And I think that's that vulnerability that you talked about. He Changed It just released a course, free course from Canadian Mental Health about men getting vulnerable and learning how to be a little bit more vulnerable.
Yep.
Have you ever run across people who are that big of a block of cement that they just won't be cracked? They won't become vulnerable. And have you had experiences where people who might be that way are vulnerable for the first time? Like, what does vulnerability mean to you when it comes to this stuff?
Yep.
Yep.
Guys that are just like pretty tough guys. And they don't want to, to be vulnerable is to be soft. And that's more lady stuff, you know, in their mind. Yep. I think it's wrong, but in their minds, that's true. You know what? That's not guys like guys don't cry or they don't show their cards. But I'll tell you, when the time is right and you've got to show up and you've got to be there through thick and thin. And when the time is right, it happens.
Yeah.
But you have to be there for it. And I think that part of the ministry is just showing up. You got to keep showing up, whether it's the rink or whatever it is. And I do believe that. And eventually when the time is right, maybe it's a road trip when you're no longer at home.
Yeah.
You're in a hotel room or if something happens and all of a sudden it happens and the crack shows and you can start to talk. And that is so rewarding. I mean, let's face it. I love the game. I want our guys to win.
Sure.
I'm a hockey guy, but at the end of the day, it's far more important to have guys being vulnerable. You know, hockey's going to take care of itself.
Yep.
If they're going to work hard and they're going to do all the things they need to do to be successful, then they will go as far as they can, and that's all they can ask.
Yeah.
But it's just about being there for them for those moments, and there's a lot of them, and there really is. So I think that ministry to me is about showing up.
Yeah.
You just show up. You faith up and you pray up and you show up, and that's the thing that I think people feel valuable. So whether it's commissioners of leagues, because I've tended to want to be where movers and shakers are, in order to work with different leagues, whether it's the KIJHL, whether it's the BC Hockey League, whether it's the Vancouver Island League, whether it's the Pacific Junior League, whether the Western Hockey League, just be where people are so that they know you're available. And even if it's a little awkward for a while, eventually the trust starts to happen, and that's when the cracks happen. And I'm confidential. Nobody will ever know.
Yeah.
But I think it's a valuable thing.
You alluded to the fact that you, and this is you 100%. You can hang out. It doesn't matter who you're hanging out with, whether it's, guys at a local rink or commissioners of a league and a whatever, high level people. You seem to be pretty unflappable. Is there anything that makes you uncomfortable, Don?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are things that I probably, I think there's probably things that I tend to be a little, I give distance to, I'm not comfortable when, guys get a little, too offside.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. We all have our boundaries and all those things. So I'll tend just to kind of retreat to the background a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm always there for them. But yeah, there are things that are not in my comfort zone, but I'm not going to start saying stuff and judging. I'll be there. Mm. But we all, we just have to have boundaries somewhere.
Absolutely.
And so I do. But I think that the guys appreciate even that. They know that the chaplain's going to be there for them. It's not as though I won't, go have a beer with the coach and stuff. Never with the players.
Right.
I don't do that.
Right.
I will never do that. But it's not as I won't have a beer with the coaches and we'll chat after the game or this or that, and I hear their stories. But when things kind of, sometimes they get a little carried away too far, I'll just kind of slip into reverse and just kind of give myself a little space. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
We all have to have boundaries no matter what it is. Where our standards are and comfort level and whatnot. And this isn't the kind of comfort level where it's like, get out of your comfort zone, try something new. This is this doesn't feel right with who I am as a person. And so I'm going to create a space or a boundary to,
Well, I want to make sure that there is a continued trust with the idea of being a chaplain.
Yeah.
And so I protect that.
No, that makes sense.
I totally protect that. And, you know, and you've been around me long enough in the hockey world, and I've got some great friends in this game.
Yeah.
Great friends in the arena. And I want to be able to be there for them. And I want to preserve that trust level. And so that necessitates a few boundaries.
One of the things that I've always tried to in my journey, my self-identity, who I am, I always want to be the same person no matter what room I'm in, as much as possible.
Yep.
Obviously, the level of respect of who I'm with changes. My language is less colorful when I'm in the same room as you, out of respect for you. And that's who I am.
I'm not going to go cry.
And I know you won't. But I still actually, I don't want to put you in a space where you're like, okay, I want to make some space or anything like that. So, but I truly try and be the same person. That's my goal.
Yep.
And I'm not always successful with it. But no matter what room I'm in, you're seeing the same Mike Chisholm as if he was in this room. That's who I want to be. You know, slight changes for the description of the background. One thing that I can say about you, and I appreciate about you so much, is that you are who you are no matter what room you're in. And I very much admire that about you and try and emulate myself to be that same authentic person. The way that you are, no matter what room you're in, because you are very much one of those people in my life I look up to as that. You're a mentor to me when it comes to that, Don.
Well, thank you.
I just want to tell you that. And I want to finish off by asking you one other question to the viewers out there right now. Some guys are not those guys at all. They are a different guy, no matter what room they're in. They're a different guy at work than they are at home. They're a different guy at home than they are with their friends. They're a different guy that they're lost. Or they're that block of cement that we talked about right now, where they're not being vulnerable about anything. There are guys listening to this podcast right now who are at a place where they're just listening. They're not interacting. They're not interacting with He Changed It, except for maybe just listening to this. And so I know you're not a guy that's going to say, well, yeah, no, join this religion. That's going to solve all your problems. I know you're not that guy. To that guy who's in that quiet place of desperation, what do you say to somebody who's in a quiet place of desperation?
Well, I mean, you know, a quiet place of desperation, just a little definition. It could be in a marriage.
Yeah.
Could be alcohol abuse.
Yeah.
Drug abuse. Stuff that you don't think would happen in hockey, but it does. It could be mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
It could be absolute depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had a long history.
Could working, be guilt, by the way, as well.
Pardon me?
Guilt as well.
Could be guilt. Yeah. Like, you know, one of the captains of one of the clubs that I serve in the past, one of the past captains, we've been, we work quite consistently with player mental health and mental illness. And so it could be any of those things. What do I say to them? Part is it because I want to be involved and show up, and I usually say text me, and I'll say fire me a text and stuff because I don't know if it's not a quick answer.
No,
you know, you need someone to walk with you. You need someone who's not going to be shocked and be disappointed in you or be, you know, or kind of shun you. You need someone to walk with you if you're in a quiet place of desperation and all those things. And so what do? I you know, with the people that I know, I say, you know, fire me a text or give me an email or give me a call and let's have a coffee. I think that you know, there's more faith stuff done over a coffee cup than almost anywhere else. It's amazing. And always end with a prayer. You know, and if people can't do that, maybe people are watching today or listening today, then, you know, find someone in your world that you can actually talk to, but you must be vulnerable. You know, maybe there's a chaplain somewhere, you know, but if nothing else, you know, get a hold of He Changed It. Mm. Like, I'm not going to give, you know, my text or my cell number out now.
No.
But if needs be, contact you and He Changed It and make the connection. Yeah. And I will talk to somebody. I don't care.
I
don't care where they live. Yeah. So for me, there's that offer, but don't hide it.
I appreciate that viewpoint. How do you not, and I'm going to finish with this. You get in this place with all these guys and how do you not have your energy sucked away from, how does your sponge keep liquid in it? How do you not just become this sponge that is lifeless and empty and can't provide any water for anybody? Because you constantly have people ringing you out. You constantly have this. It's your whole life. How do you keep your sponge hydrated? What do you do for you?
It's interesting you say that because there's always that temptation of being weary. And when I get weary, I don't want to care for people. I don't want to be around people.
Yeah.
I don't. And again, I go back to the reason for my faith is that I believe without a doubt that Jesus says in John that there'll be a spring of living water that will rise up like an artesian well. Because of my faith in Christ, it never runs dry.
It's an everlasting source of water in this analogy. So
otherwise I would, yeah, you said like you were talking about how does a sponge, you know, not just become dry and empty. And I will say that I say this about so many of my chapel topics, guys, if it wasn't for my faith in Christ, I'd be a gong show. Mm. I'd be an absolute mess. And when it comes to being running dry, yeah, I can run dry pretty quick. So I need to rely and I need to go back and reorder and figure out why I'm here in the first place. What is my source that allows me to keep going and not run dry?
Yeah.
That's it.
I want to thank you very, very much, not just for taking time out of your busy, you are busy and all that, but for trusting me to and allowing me to take advantage of our dynamic to have you on here. You are a guy that is a mentor to me. And I just appreciate who you are more so than what you do. But I also appreciate what you do very, very much. I appreciate the fact that I'm a relationship guy too. I believe relationship is the key to everything. And the fact that you do so much for so many. We've had guys that you've been the chaplain on this podcast, you know, from every level of hockey. I've had all sorts of people who've been impacted by you. Thank you for allowing me to take advantage of our dynamic to have you actually on here to talk about this stuff. I appreciate this very much. And I just appreciate who you are. And thank you for being a mentor to me. I really appreciate
that, Don. It's been good to be here, Mike. It's been great. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. They go by quick. They go by so quick. That is another episode of HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. Once again, I am a broken record and I am relentless in that broken record message until He Changed It gets to where they want it to get to, which is literally changing the world, being a world thought leader and resource provider for men out there. Until we get to that place where we can say that's where we are, I'm going to say, why haven't you gone to the App Store, Google, Apple, whatever? Search He Changed It, find the He app, download it. Please subscribe to the podcast. Please share the podcast. We are so grateful for what is being built here, and you ain't seen nothing yet. For HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It, my name is Mike Chisholm. Go change something.